A big thanks to all our sponsors. Comic Bento.
Comic Bento.
Comic Bento.
Comic Bento.
Comic Bento.
Comic Bento is a subscription service that brings a box of comics to your door every month. Check out our website, thetalkinggeekpod.com. Click the link, subscribe, and wait for your comics to hit the mailbox.
Eyeballs float in wet green grass. I got a chainsaw motor that's filled with rain. But when it sings like Bach, the eyes all bulge. And when the pink sun drops, the eyelids fold while I'm in deep REM sleep. Or twilight zones, I take a freight elevator, better fast forward. I get to grind these teeth and peek through time. If I can bring things back, then feed back wild and wet. I saw the future.
Hey, this is V the Fried Nugget.
Hey, this is Tim the Member.
Hey, guys, this is Q the Face.
Hey, this is Kenny the Bear with the underscore in front of it.
Hey, this is Pedro the Air Horn.
And this is the Talking Geek.
We are officially recording.
Oh, we began.
We're started.
Oh, we started. We began. I see.
We're on this.
The car went flying over the edge of the cliff before I even knew it began.
Yes,
rolling.
Yes, basically that's how it happened. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hola.
As always, I am Q, and with me I have...
The motherfucking bear, Pedro Cortez.
And next to him, we have...
This is, Mr. Underscore. This is Kenny on the mic.
Mr. Underscore. I like that. That's that's saucy.
Mr. Underscore.
And we are the Talking Geek, and we're also a part of the Geek Bro Network alongside Mount Geek Bro, Mamas and Merlot, Shiver, What's Up Bro, What's Good, Zeros on Heroes, Comedy Fitness, and many more to come, actually.
Ooh. She did that all in one breath, guys. Congratulations.
Wow.
That was impressive.
Oh, super lungs you got.
I'm efficient. So the name of this podcast is Hello 2018, because I feel like we didn't close out 2017 properly because we went on an impromptu break.
Well, I mean, I went out of town, so I was missing for a good chunk of that last part.
And I was drunk.
And Kenny was a unicorn.
That works. That works great. So I kind of wanted, I guess, just chit-chat how we finished the year, what we're excited about this year, what we've done so far, and what we've seen so far, and stuff like that. So... any geek resolutions to go real quick?
This is geeky just because of the source of this, but I started doing yoga because I have multiple knee injuries over time, and so I'm trying to do something low impact. So I looked up and I found actually the best workout for that is from an ex-wrestler.
Yes, DDP yoga.
DDP yoga. Yeah, this guy, the way how the workouts are structured, uses dynamic resistance to like jack up your heart rate while you're doing it. So it's very modular. So while you're doing it, like if it starts getting too easy, just doing the stretching and the pushing up, which believe me, when you're starting out, is hard enough.
Yeah.
You actually... You tense up your muscles depending on how much dynamic resistance you want to create, and you just keep yourself tense while you're doing it the whole time. And believe me, you do that for like 3 or 4 yoga moves, and your heart rate will jack way the fuck up. So I think that'll be pretty good until to get my knees back in shape. Specifically, my left knee has been getting really weak. So nerdy wrestler yoga, I guess.
I mean, that does fall under a geek resolution. Yeah. I would definitely say that.
I like that. I know, actually, DDP yoga, it's no joke. If anybody's seen Jake the Snake Roberts documentary,
he
saved his life. Saved his life, saved Scott Hall's life. Saved a bunch of people, actually. So, yeah.
Kenny, you have any geek resolutions yourself?
I need to actually go out and see more movies that involve...
Is your goal this year?
Yes, that is my goal this year, that I actually have to go see not only fan favorites that everybody goes in the theater, but also to see indie films that need support.
Need audiences.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I fucked up at the end of last year, and I wanted to see Shape of Water so
bad.
Shape
of Water? Yeah.
The new Del Toro movie. The one where... I mean, if you want to be reductive, it's where the lady fucks the fish monster, but it's a little more complicated.
Well, it's
than
the
that.
One he won Best Director and Golden Globe for.
Yeah. And it looks fucking awesome. I really want to see it.
The Golden Globes actually made me realize how many movies I haven't seen. And I thought, and technically I did better this year than in other years watching movies. So I thought that I was going into it like, I'm going to know most of these movies. And I was like, no.
Oh, no, I don't.
No, I don't.
Actually,
I don't.
It's one of those where it's like, these are the movies that
get nominated. Some of the movies that I watch are not going to get nominated whatsoever.
Well, I ended up seeing like a bunch of the trailers while I was on vacation, and like there's a couple things that look really fucking good, and I'm surprised I didn't see it. Like Lady Bird looks really fucking interesting.
Looks great.
And yeah. I never saw a single trailer of that. Now, granted, I don't watch TV, so right. I don't know who they're targeting, but you would have figured at this point everybody knows that everybody's on YouTube. Everybody is on, think of any one of a dozen other sites that you go on. Like I would have expected like one of the film sites that I go on to have some, even like a small ad campaign.
You know, oddly enough, Lady Bird, I didn't see a trailer for, but tell me my name or tell me your name.
Call Me By Your Name.
Call Me By Your Name. I actually saw a lot of that on Instagram.
Oh, okay.
Because I follow a lot of celebrities on Instagram, and they were also promoting it. Like, I can't remember which of the, I think it was actually Rachel Brosnahan from Marvelous Mrs. Maisel that had talked about one of the movies, and I was just like, oh, okay, so I saw it a lot there. Mm-hmm. But I will say that my Fire Stick showed me trailers for a lot of the stuff. So they were, I guess Amazon was like, I got okay. this. I will show you the trailer.
So Amazon will show you the trailer, because I'm thinking about like the way, like, granted, like I'm still not in the mood to watch it. I'm very much like, if I'm going to have escapist activities, it's video games, because that's just where my headspace is at. But like, you know, on my PS4, like I'll load up Amazon and Netflix and Hulu, and like I just don't see ads for movies on there. I just see for the ads just circularly within their own network.
Right. Yeah. I did see that, and also because of it's Hulu. I watch Hulu, mm-hmm. and Hulu, I watch it with the commercials. So
Okay.
Yeah, if you're using Hulu Plus, you're not seeing anything.
I don't have Hulu. Well, I mean, I pay for Hulu, but I don't have Hulu Plus.
I pay the basic, which gives you the commercials, like not as much, but it gives you a few commercials, and that I will see stuff. I will see stuff there.
They keep giving me car shit, which is like really strange.
Yeah, same here. It depends, but I will get more trailers that aspect.
The Grand Tour, I've got a lot of Blue Apron. They really want me to make food.
No, I think everybody, Blue Apron's everywhere. It's kind of like the, what's the other one?
HelloFresh.
HelloFresh, that's the other one.
Which HelloFresh, by the way, is better. So HelloFresh, if you're listening, you can sponsor us.
but yes, I need to, not only
see more movies.
Not only movies, it's the fact that I need to get, I actually have to kick my own ass, and get myself into finishing up series that I've started.
Oh, yeah.
I have stopped, I didn't watch the last season of Flash. I didn't, and Flash right now, I can't believe I'm doing that to myself. I'm going to be finishing Punisher, but I do need to go ahead and finish out the Marvel, like everything Marvel when it comes in, yeah. All that slate of Marvel that's in there on Netflix. Not only that, I have to start. Well, I'm so glad I stopped Inhumans. God forbid.
No.
That you wasted your time with that.
I heard that after that first episode, I honestly, like, it was derailing since then.
The only good thing about Inhumans was that they used a bunch of Lost people. Like, like one of my favorite characters from Lost, a guy named Miles, was in it. And every time I see him, I'm like, oh, that's awesome. He's there. At least he's working.
Listen, yeah. I where you spend your time playing video games this year, which is why I thought I had done better, was because mine is TV. Mm-hmm. And I also have to thank my insomnia.
That
helps me, because I've watched every series that has dropped.
I've watched all the series.
Like, I've watched it all, and pretty much within the first 2 weeks that it was out.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you were really up to date with shit.
I'm super up to date with shit. I'm up to date with, I've watched every episode of the Marvel's Runaways on Hulu. I saw every single Netflix Marvel series that dropped out. I finished The Punisher within the first week. They still haven't seen The Defenders. I finished that. Iron Fist, I finished that. We still fit in Stranger Things. I've managed to still...
Stranger Things was like, listen, nothing was going
to
stop me.
Stranger Things is one of those things where, you know, we have to all watch.
But, like, I finished even non-Marvel superhero stuff. I finished the third season of Broadchurch the minute it hit.
Miss Maisel,
Netflix. I did Miss Maisel. You know, like...
Holy
shit.
That may not be nerdy, but I think we need to talk about
that
just for a couple...
No, it's on
my list. You have it on the list.
Yeah,
okay,
I have
cool.
it on my list.
Because,
I have that on my list for sure. So, yeah, I'm caught up when it comes to that. Some shows that I follow, like, I'm a big Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fan, but I can only watch it when it hits Netflix, because I'm not home to watch it any other time. So that I'm behind
on.
And
you'd probably like to marathon as opposed to just sitting waiting week by week.
I do. So I'm happy about that. I did much better. I didn't do so great in movies. Like, I know that you guys listening to this, you were wondering, like, why haven't you guys talked about Star Wars? Why haven't you guys talked about Thor Ragnarok?
Am I the only one who has seen Star Wars here?
You're the only one who's seen all the movies, because we haven't
Jesus Christ, guys.
We haven't seen Thor Ragnarok. We have not seen Justice League, and we did not see Star Wars.
Well, I want you guys, because The Last Jedi is so amazingly trolly to shitty fans that I cannot wait to talk about it with you guys.
We will have an entire episode when that happens.
Oh, my God, I cannot wait.
We will have an entire episode when that happens, but, yeah, we haven't seen any of those things, not even only indie films, so I'm with you on
you're on that tip.
That tip with Kenny, at least.
Yeah,
but you guys, series. Every time I come out of the room, I'm like, have you guys watched it yet? You guys haven't watched Luke Cage yet? What the fuck? I can't talk about any of this
shit. My big problem with a lot of the Marvel stuff, and this happened pretty much when Ike Perlmutter took over all the TV stuff, is that there was, at least visually, I definitely saw an immediate decline in the quality of the shows, and I really got tired of the extended episode formats.
Okay.
When there's just so much guff in the middle of that, where if they had cut those series in half and just left it all mean, all killer, no filler, then it would have done much better for the story. It would have done much better
for a lot.
Which one
in specific?
I remember Jessica Jones being kind of a drag to get through.
And I love Jessica
Jones. No, I love Jessica Jones, except for how many times this motherfucker escapes until the very end, where it's just there's so much of that they could have nipped and tucked. And the thing is, I can also see that at least they at least put those episodes where it felt like fluff, they still added character stuff for her.
Right.
So at least they filled it with something. But that still wasn't enough for it to be a 100% recommendation. You know what I mean?
I could have gone with a 45-minute one-shot mini movie of Iron Fist and nothing else.
Yeah.
and I could have gone with...
She just made it a regular movie. Fuck it.
And I... No. Not with this actor. 45 minutes. and I could have gone with a few more episodes of The Defenders.
Yeah, just balance it out with... Mm-hmm. And also, I haven't seen Luke Cage. Luke Cage is the one I wanted to see the most, and that's the one I haven't seen yet.
Oh, you see? You guys are failing.
That's the one that I really want. But even then, I heard that still has some pacing issues within that.
You know what? I think it's you've got to be in the mood to watch it, because the first time I tried to watch Luke Cage, I didn't like it. I fell asleep. It was just, I don't know, something about it. It was also late at night. It wasn't clicking. And then we tried to watch it again because I was just it looks so great and everybody's talking so many good things about it that I really want to try. And then it hit me. And then it was okay. And I'm a stickler for character development. So even when the pacing is slow, if you're still building character, still giving me backstory, then I don't consider it a lull. Because you're still giving me something that I can chew on. But I understand that for a superhero movie, you want some sort of action for the most part.
Well,
not maybe you specifically, but
in general. Well,
yeah.
See, because I think about that, I don't 100% agree with that. Because if you think about what the conversation we had about the seventh episode of Stranger Things, that in theory could have been a padding episode, but that was all character development, which was important, and I felt that was good. In the Marvel ones, I feel that it's and this is actually probably getting as close to being part of the actual material as they are, is there's just a lot of things that are just okay, well, I learned a little bit about this character, but you wasted my time for 18 out of the 23 pages that I read this.
Got it. Well, I mean, I guess
wasting my time is harsh, but you know what I'm. You
no, no,
know
no.
What
I get what
at.
You mean. I get what you mean. But I get what you're saying. For me, Jessica Jones was one of my favorites. I do agree. In some other ones, Daredevil had its moments where.
Oh yeah.
That for me was a pacing issue in some aspects of it, especially season two. The only reason that it pushed the way that it did was because of Punisher, was because of Frank Castle, or else I would have had a lot more issues because they didn't get to the meat of the other stuff because I can't talk about it because you haven't seen it.
I also feel that. At least with Daredevil season two, based off of because I haven't finished it either, but I read a synopsis because I wanted to, I got tired of waiting. That definitely feels like the weird mishmash of oh shit, we have Defenders, but we already had a story set up.
Yeah, and I can see that. I can definitely see that. So my geek, just to wrap that up, my geek resolution was to read more, and I apparently see more movies as well because I and read not just comic books. I like to read, so I just enjoy reading, and I had. Set my Goodreads goal. Every year they're set your goal, blah blah blah, and last year I was just I started this book club, I'm gonna hit 20 books by October. I was I'm gonna change my read my goals and I'm gonna bring it down to 12. And then I still didn't make the 12, so this year I stuck to the 12. One book a month is what my goal is, and to just see movies when they come out, god damn it.
I mean, if you want any recommendations for, because the thing is that most of the books that I like are anthologies. They're series. Dark Tower is always going to be... As much as I don't like Stephen King, Dark Tower series is a great read.
Yeah, I couldn't do it. I tried.
You tried?
I tried.
What book did you end up going into?
I started with Dark Tower first.
Right.
Then I tried The Stand, because I thought that would be the one that would get me, and... it's one of those things where I can recognize that he is like, he's a fucking great writer. It's just not my type.
No, it
people told me to switch to the novellas because his shorter, apparently they're like his shorter work would appeal to me better because it's the same skill, but truncated so that it's fucking quicker and you get to the point.
It's almost like J.R.R. Tolkien where he'll spend two chapters talking about the Shire, just how it looks.
And that doesn't bother me. Like it's fucked up. I grew up with Tolkien and his long-winded explanations, but that never bugged me because I feel like specifically the way how he was building that world, that he kind of needed to do it specifically at the time because there was no reference for that. Nowadays, when you say fantasy, you think of Tolkien. But when Tolkien said fantasy, people were like,
What is he talking about? Yeah.
So that's why like I give him the pass now. And honestly, I can still go back to that. But that's definitely a bit of nostalgia.
Well, for me, I have shelves upon shelves of books I keep buying that I don't read.
Yeah, looking over at it right now, I'm like, I know that feel.
I am now reading the book for my book club and trying to knock out a book that's on my shelf before I purchase new books. Because I already purchased
new
books.
And I got a book for you, too. So.
Yes, I know. So see, hence more reading. Yeah, yeah. More reading. And that's my geek thing. All right, so just to catch up, we've seen a lot of shit while we've been on break. We've done a lot of things. First, I want to talk about, by the time you guys are listening to this, this past weekend was the Paradise City Comic Con down here in Miami that was held at the Miami Airport Convention Center. And the nice folks over at Paradise City hooked us up with press passes so that we can go and enjoy the con. So me and the wife actually went. She took photos, which will be up on our Facebook page by next week. You guys can see them there. So we went Friday and Saturday. We didn't go Sunday because Sunday we were recuperating from Vanessa's birthday party.
We did damage to ourselves. There was a party.
which also kind of sucked because I wasn't able to stay for Saturday night. However, because they're in our same podcasting network, I gave Jeff my press pass so that he can cover the rest of the con.
Okay, cool.
In the afternoon. So if you guys want to check out what he had to say about it, I'm sure you can find out on Mount Geekmore podcast. So he finished up the con while we took care of the first 2 days of the con. Friday, we got there pretty early, and it was, like, I always like it on Fridays.
Fucking calm. No, not a ton of fucking people.
Yes. Enough people that it's entertaining.
Yeah.
And I will actually say this. They were more full there at their Friday than the Friday I went to Animate.
Yeah.
Last year's Animate. When I went to last year's Animate, I think it was last year.
We all went together.
Went together that Friday. It was like I could do cartwheels in the vendor area. Here was not that. You still had cosplayers, which you didn't have a lot of that in anime. So it was still really, really good in that aspect. I went for Indiana Jones. So shout out to Indiana Jones. She had a panel there where she was doing she's got a YouTube channel for arts and crafts and like recipes, but she does it in cosplay and she themes it all out. I was on a few videos for her Game of Thrones series where me and both Vanessa, actually, I played Tyrion and she was Sansa. Though I looked more like Ramsay, whatever.
Yeah.
Which is still somebody.
That's somebody's fantasy.
I still either way played a husband or of Vanessa. Because
either way, I still win.
Technically, Tyrion is still married to Sansa.
Yeah, that's true.
So
While
he's creeping, and then I checked out another fellow comedian. Her she did a new show that she's doing, which is Couch Potato. Lisa Correu.
Oh yeah.
So she has this thing now where she has a couch, literally. She sits on the couch in either pajamas or comfortable clothing. And she's eating chips while on the couch. And it's kind of what she started at our space at AV with looking things up on the internet about it. Right? Yeah. So what she does is she hooks up her phone to a projector.
Yeah.
And while she's talking to people in the audience, she'll either ask what you're thinking and Google it right then and there and see what's on the internet and then talk shit about it or show, like, you know, whatever that is. So we did that. And then she gives – it's fucking hilarious. Then after she's spoken to that audience member, she asked them to come up to the stage so that she can give them a chip. But they can't touch it. She has to feed it to them like if it's confession. Like it's goddamn communion in church, except they have to get a chip. And
Lisa.
Yeah, I love her. I want to be
her.
She's
the best.
I
wanna,
awesome.
You know,
no,
I want to eat nuggets and make comedy. Like I want to sit on a beanbag.
I want the two of you sitting on a couch and doing this because I feel like that would be
I would
pretty
eat
fucking
French
great.
Fries and she would eat chips. Like that would be what it would be.
Now we need to talk to Lisa for next
Lisa,
next
if
con.
You're listening.
Lisa, we have an idea.
So I have it. its pros and its cons for the con this time around. I'm gonna do one and the other one. I'll have to say that one of the cons for this con was the panel selection. I felt like there was a lot of filler panels, and I understand that you have to kind of spread your panels out because there's so many cons that they run. So if you have the same kind of panels at each one, what's the point of going to different ones? And you obviously you're going to have more voiceover panels at your anime because that's more targeted to that genre. And I understand that. So I get, you know, that you're trying to fill up a lot of time on a 3-day convention and trying to fill up all the rooms that you have there. But with that said, a lot of the panels were just like, I'm not going to go color for an hour. Like, I'm just not going to color.
Well, I mean, that's also not for you. Like, I could definitely see where people are running around like Mad Men and Mad Women and like, I need a break and I will relax and let me tell you, with the fucking panic attack that I had at the last, that SuperCon, I could have used the coloring room.
You know what? And again, it's also that it's not for me and they're trying to hit a lot of different genres. So I wrote that as a pro, broader genre spectrum at this particular con, you know, which lends itself to that because it's not specifically anime or anything like that. But even in their guests, like they were able to hit a lot of different realms than I've normally gone. Normally I've gone and I care very little about the Q&As that are happening there. And I felt like they had something for everybody. But they had like fandom coloring sessions, not one time, like 3 or 4 times throughout the day that you can go and color. Which I don't really see why I would need to do that 3 or 4 times.
Could you drink while you're doing that?
That might be like a family thing too, because if you're taking your kids, like that's a good way to get them to shut the fuck up for a little bit.
Probably, but like, some tap dancing stuff. Like,
well, that's that's just sort of my issues with a lot of the cons that are done by this one specific company is that they reuse a lot of the same talent, which is good for people who are new, but for people that have been going to the cons for a while, I mean, oh yeah, the tap dancing people are here again. Oh, the same improv groups, which, yeah, it's a consequence of doing something over and over again in the same town.
Yeah.
You're going to get a lot of the same things coming up, and it's going to be hard for variety's sake.
And then you had, like, Drunk on Disney Presents, but there was, like, a lot of Drunk on Disney Presents.
Oh, they kept doing it over and
over.
Yeah,
like, so, like, at one from 1:45 to 2:45 on Saturday, you could do Forgotten Disney Attractions. But then again, on from 3 to 4, so, like, 15 minutes later, you're going to have the same guys. Then they're doing Hall of Presidents. You know what I mean? Like, so
Jesus Christ, they keep it drunk from 1 to 9 o'clock. By the end of the day, they're like, fucking kill me.
Yeah, you know, so it just felt like there wasn't, I guess I had such a good time at the Fort Lauderdale Convention Center, and it was probably the most amount of panels I had actually gone to without just sticking to the artist sections and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That I was kind of hoping for the same thing. And then what ended up happening is either they were too early. Like, I understand that this is like a family thing, but welcome to Night Vale at 11 a.m. on Saturday.
No, it's called
Welcome to Night Vale. I don't know. Maybe at night would have been a great idea, well, or like, later in the day.
Yeah, at least at 2, like
but
after
at 11 a.m. after, you figure if this starts on Friday, and on Friday you're already having parties afterwards. You're having after-hour parties. Creature Entertainment did a drunken draw where you got drunk and they got beer.
Those are fun.
And then those are fun, right? You're having that at night, and then you want people to be there at like at 10 o'clock in the morning. Like, that's rough for some people. And Welcome to Nightville was a great guest to have.
Yeah.
And introducing the podcasting world, also like a bigger presence in the con this time around. But you had them at 11 a.m. I wanted to go and see them and check them out and see what they had to say on stage, because you've been talking about this podcast forever and I haven't given a fair shot. And I wasn't going to get there at 11 a.m. on a Saturday.
Yeah,
you know what
that.
I mean? Then they had a Q&A with the It cast, which is great. Great to have the boys of It, obviously, except for
Finn Wolfhard.
Finn wasn't going to go because he's too big for that. But you had them on Sunday morning. Like Sunday afternoon or something like that, which is when most people have already kind of gotten conned out, and you've also partied all night Saturday. So it was like, okay, you have these great acts, but the scheduling is rough. And I know that sometimes comes up to the acts that are there.
Well, it's also that they've specifically the SuperCon branded entertainment have really been done a big push in the last 2 or 3 years to move shit to Sundays, where I've been fucked because I'm like, okay, well, the biggest day is going to be Saturday. That's the only day that I can go. And then I go on Saturday. I'm like, oh, cool. I'll see this panel. It's tomorrow.
Yeah. Which I don't know why they would be pushing it to Sundays.
Because they want people to
show
up.
They want people to pay for the weekend pass. That's really what it comes down to.
They want
their slowest day to begin not being the slowest day.
It's more the weekend pass.
It's more the weekend pass because everybody is always going to buy Saturday. They usually don't buy Sunday. That's why Sunday is always the cheapest ticket. But if you want people to go, you have to entice them with something.
See, and if I hadn't have been dead, I would have gone on Sunday. Because I personally, this is how I con. On Friday, I go because it is the best day to go see everything that's going to be there throughout the weekend.
Right.
And actually understand the layout, all the shops, really get a view for what's optional, like what's there. Because there's not that many people there. So you can walk calmly
and see what's there,
and
yeah.
really absorb what's there. Saturday, I go for the acts, for the panels, for the guests, for the celebrities. And Sundays, I go to shop. Because everybody who didn't sell well at that convention has dropped their prices by Sunday. Because they're packing up and they're moving on to the next one or whatnot. And I usually get the best deals. That Funko that was $45 on Friday, come Sunday, is now $30. Because that guy is wheeling and dealing because he didn't make the money that he thought he was going
to
make.
He needs another a couple ounces
off. He needs to
get
that shit out.
He needs to get that shit out. So I go shopping on Sunday, but window shopping on Friday.
Yeah.
And then I just don't do any of that stuff on Saturday.
And see, what you should do is that you also go to all the artists on Friday because when you they have limited stock. They're not like a lot
right.
of the dealers. So you buy the art pieces that you want on Friday because you definitely shit will be sold out.
Come
by the end of Friday, like good artists will have their
we'll
shit. Like, it's happened more
gone.
Than once where I've gone to a con and been like, oh, cool, buy this. They're like, yeah, we sold out halfway through Friday. I'm like, motherfucker!
Yeah. So that was a con for me, which was just the panel options in that aspect. But like I said, a pro was the broader genre spectrum in the sense of like you had the typical wrestlers, you know, your typical that. But
which, did they have a pre-release going on for Magic there?
No, the pre-release is this weekend coming up.
Nope.
19th.
19th? Is the pre-release this week? Oh, even better.
Okay, so.
Oh, my God. You heard that Lust in Kenny's voice.
They had the cast from It there, which was great. They had Star Trek Discovery and a lot of people that were there. They had, like I said, like Night Vale, which is podcasting. They're hitting up. As usual, they had wrestlers, but then they had this guy from Game of Thrones, the one that's always trying to fuck Cersei.
Euron.
Thank you. And then they had the cast, some of the Stranger Things cast that was going to be there, and the Runaways, which is a little... So I enjoyed what they had. Now, the layout. The layout needs work. I feel like they're always trying to tweak it.
The layout always needs work.
They've never nailed the layout for this fucking show.
But for this one, it was... Okay, so you had most comic book writers all against one wall near the escalator in the area. And upstairs, you had the celebrities of voiceovers.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the banquet hall of the area, you had your celebrity picture photo ops next to the wrestling ring.
Right.
But then, so that's very all over the place for me. Like, I like it when they put them all in the same area because I hit up artists, then I hit up comic book writers, then I hit up this, then I hit up that, and I feel like all of that in one section made more sense for me. I didn't like that the voiceovers were upstairs because and all the way at the end. Like, if you didn't go up the escalator and you went up the elevator or the main escalator in the front, you may miss them if you don't hit all the way up that. If you're just hanging out in the halls and going to the rooms, you may miss them because where they used to have the games the time we went last, now they had food court.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing, not your fault, con people, but there's no beer in the con.
In that con. Because we went to Miami Beach.
And Fort Lauderdale.
And Fort Lauderdale, they had beer.
Yeah. Here, they only had one kind of beer in one booth because it was Concrete Beach Brewery who went.
Okay, it's not bad.
So that means that. So what that means is that the hotel wasn't going to be making money. So they said no beer because we're not making money off of it.
I and Vanessa went to the bar in the DoubleTree.
Yeah.
And bought beer and then went back.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, that's what we
had to do. But it would have been a lot more convenient if I would have been able to just buy. And then the one beer place that they had there was taking cash only, which they didn't let anybody know. And then they only had one beer available, which was an IPA. So
what
already,
the fuck? You don't front load an IPA at a con? What the hell?
Which is what I said. I was like, great, where I would be willing to have this beer. It's an IPA. I'm not going to spend big money. I'm just going to go and
fucking
get myself
hell.
A fucking.
Yeah.
But then at the same
or,
time.
Or you just do what everybody else does and take the fucking liquor in like three fucking flasks.
That's what I'll do the next time. But I wanted a beer. I wanted a beer.
You wanted something simple.
And then I end up still having to pay $8 for the beer because I'm going at the bar in the whole, in the double
yeah.
drink.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You're so still fucked.
That was it. And just. I actually like the DoubleTree Convention Center. Like I don't hate that convention center. I just think that the mapping
the
of the actual
out.
Layout is what needed a little bit of work. And that was just but they did give more space in between the aisles of the vendors this time. So kudos on that. But the layout was weird where all the cosplayers were. I felt like some of them didn't have a moment to shine. Because one year we went and they split it in half. And one side was all the artists and everything like that. And the other side was all the vendors. And that, to me, made the most amount of sense.
I believe that was SuperCon when they had it at DoubleTree.
SuperCon has gotten better with the with the larger convention centers and doing their splits. The bigger problem, though, luckily it's not a problem for some for their smaller cons, is that since they don't have as many people as SuperCon, you know, you're not going to have the same pressing issue of, like, hundreds of bodies trying to get from place to place
right.
at once.
Then I'll say another con, which has nothing to do with the con, but I have an idea. The gatekeepers of cons are assholes, and there's nothing that will ever change that unless you guys – I'm going to give you a panel option, and if you're listening to this podcast, I would gladly moderate said panel. And that panel is how to be better conners, because – these male gatekeepers of everything
yes.
make it extremely uncomfortable and frustrating, especially when you're going to like Q&A panels. They hug the panels. They are completely disrespectful when it comes to making comments about people's questions, because if you're not the epitome of ultimate geek and you ask something that maybe is in comic book issue 206 on the fourth panel of page 10, but I don't fucking know that because I just got into this, or you know, I'm just learning about it and I'm not still on issue 102 for all you fucking know, they're assholes. And there was this one specific guy that I thought Vanessa was going to just jump over the aisles and punch him in the face.
Let her do it.
I kind of wish that would have happened.
Yes, so, please.
So I went to the Marvel Comics panel, which had Dan Slott, George Molina, Mike Perkins, and Robbie Rodriguez.
Yes.
Which was great. They were interviewing them. We got to ask a lot of I got to ask questions. You know, and so there was like a little aisle with a whole microphone. But this guy, for one, was never getting up to ask anything. He was just shouting questions from the from his seat, and he was asking douchebaggery questions like I don't know, like they just didn't make any sense. Or once he would get the question answered by maybe just one guy, because maybe the other guys didn't have anything, he was being bad, like, what about you? Like it was just like this really aggressive, condescending way of asking questions, and very pretentious at the same time. And then this one little kid, I felt bad, this kid must have been 6 or 7. And he goes up to the mic, and he's, like, super excited that he gets asked questions to the people who draw his favorite characters, you know. And one of those artists does Captain America. Mm-hmm. And so he went up, and he was like, oh, I have two questions. One, why does Captain America have a shield instead of, like, a gun or something, you know, like, when he has a gun? And he asked this, like, and the guy was like,
it's a kiddo, yeah.
Right, and the
kid
was like, that's a good. He was like, oh, you know, it's kind of like a defense. But when you really think about it, Captain America really does use his shield like a weapon when you think about how good he's gotten at tossing it and bouncing it off of things. And so, and then his second question was, why does Tony Stark have, why does Iron Man have blasters on his shoes, right?
that's adorable.
Right? Yeah. It's an adorable fucking question. He was just like, you know, it doesn't really make much sense. He always flies really weird because they're shooting from the bottom up.
No, it's true.
Right? So, he
watch
asked,
Iron Man 1 to see how Tony first handles
that. You know what I mean? So, he asked this silly question, and then as he's done, he's like gotten so excited, he's ready to run off. That guy looks at the kid and is like, really? You had to ask like that kind of like that stupid question?
What a fucking dick.
See, somebody dressed up as Iron Man should have gotten up from the back and gone back and hit him right in the face.
Like it was just like, and I was ready to say something, but then the guys were like, oh, that was a great question, and they addressed the kid. They talked to the kid.
Yeah.
And,
come on now.
And then I can tell that they were so annoyed with this guy that at one point he asks Dan Slott, who writes for Spider-Man, oh, what's your favorite Spider-Man suit? And Dan's response is the red and blue one. Next question.
Yes. Yes.
And so I was like,
feel it. It's delicious.
But then this guy's so ignorant that he goes, well, there's a lot of red and blue ones, but like, which ones specifically?
And nobody just said, shut the fuck up.
No, because I'm trying to be nice.
No, I'm not saying necessarily you. I'm just talking about somebody.
Yeah.
See, I have had to do that at panels when people start mouthing off to just be like, shut up.
Well,
like,
he ended up,
be quiet.
I'm pretty sure Vanessa said something kind of under her breath, but not really under her breath, like making it seem like it was under her breath or wasn't, because the guy left like maybe, I want to say after Dan Slott answered his question like that, maybe he asked one more question and then he left. He left. He didn't even finish the panel.
Oh, yes.
But
people
really
should have started clapping. That's what they should have been.
It was, you know, it was. Yay! I kind of talked about the con of the scheduling, like some things that I wanted to see were at the same time, and yet, and then what would end up happening is I would have like 2 hours of lull moments,
yeah.
Like none of the panels I wanted to see, none of the Q&As I wanted to see, and things like that. But the guests were great. I want to just highlight what, I did the Marvel Comics, which was great, and I got to take a picture with Robbie Rodriguez.
Cool.
Which, for those of you who are listening and you're like, I don't know who Robbie Rodriguez is. He's the artist and co-creator of Spider-Gwen and Gwenpool and Gwenom, and like,
man loves him some Gwen Stacy.
He likes Gwen Stacy,
and I appreciate him for that, so I'm totally down for that. And I got to ask him a question, and he made eye contact with me, and then we had like that whole moment, and he signed my comic books, so
yeah,
that
was super
good.
Nice. When I saw him a couple 2 years ago, like, I got to thank him. I'm like, I haven't paid attention to Spider books in 10 years, and you made me pay attention again, thank you.
Yeah, which was freaking awesome. So I love that. And then I was able to get my issues signed, so I was super excited about that. And then what I was the most excited about, because it is my Marvel guilty pleasure, which is I got to go to the Q&A with some of the cast from The Runaways.
Ah, why is that a guilty pleasure?
Because it's not Netflix Marvel kind of show.
Just because it's not Netflix Marvel doesn't mean it's not good.
No, hold on. I'm not saying that it's not good. I'm just saying kind of show.
Right.
This is not your serious Marvel show where, you know, it is a Marvel show for teens. Like when we were watching Dawson's Creek and Buffy the Vampire Slayer, that is what kids that age are now watching or would be watching The Runaways. So that's why I call it my guilty pleasure, because I'm 34, but I'm really enjoying this like kind of cheesy moment.
That's why people watch fucking Riverdale.
Yes, okay, that's exactly why. So that's why I say it's different and it's my guilty pleasure,
okay,
because of that. But I, me and Vanessa watch it like when the shows drop by midnight.
You're waiting for it. You're
Yeah, like Vanessa, like I can't, like I'm going to be sad because we're recording on Monday. The episodes usually drop on Tuesdays. And normally we would be getting into bed and be like, hey, there's a dank ass episode that's going to be on right now. And there's no dank ass episode tomorrow. Aww. But they were all renewed for season two, so I'm super excited. But they had, if you do watch The Runaways, you'll know them as Chase, Carolina, and Mr. Wilder, which is Alex's dad. They were doing a Q&A, and I got to ask them questions, and I got to make eye contact with Greg Sulkin, and then I got to get moist, and he got to not know about it.
I think you can see it in your eyes. He was like, now you're moist. Done.
So that
he
was
he writes
really
it down as a little book.
Next one. Another one.
Another one, moist. And so that was cool. And that was like kind of like the last thing that we did before we bounced. So that was awesome. So in all, I had a fun time. I got to do things that I haven't done in other cons before. I talked to artists more so than anything else. And I got to go to a few panels that I was enjoying. I got my new figurine for my Dungeons and Dragons character.
Nice.
Even though it's not anatomically correct yet.
Not yet, but you guys don't know about that.
Very
just
soon.
Yet. Yeah, very soon. Very it soon. Will be. Very soon it will be. I'm probably gonna do it to the second one. So I only bring it out when he does that move.
He's like, hello.
Yeah, I'm just gonna switch my character.
Sailor Jerry looks over like, oh no, not again.
Not again. So now we can get into all the stuff we've been watching and things that we've been doing. Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Oh my God. What a fan-fucking-tastic show. I still have to watch the last episode. I still haven't watched it yet. I have a good reason.
Okay.
I have a good reason.
Yes.
Mario Brothers is really fucking good. Mario Odyssey is real hot shit. But, yeah, Marvelous Miss Maisel was, now, I'm not going to say it was a surprise. It was mostly, I have heard so much about it. Like, people were talking, and I knew it was one of those, like, the dozen other shows I'm going to have to add to my list, and I was just, like, half the house was sick when I was on vacation, so they were like, okay, well, why don't we watch Marvelous Miss Maisel? And so I was like, yeah, sure, I've heard everything about it. So I sat down, and they had me hooked within the first 3 minutes.
Yeah.
The egg rolls have pork in them?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, with that line, I was like, oh, this is good. This is really
fucking
good.
Which, by the
way,
for those of you who haven't watched it, she's a Jewish girl who's having a Jewish wedding, and that's what she tells the entire
show. And she's not just a Jewish girl. She's like a 1950s.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 50s. 1950s Jewish girl at the upper Upper East Side, mm-hmm. I think. Yeah, on the Upper East Side, which is a very particular type.
Yeah, like, I have to give this show credit. The first episode, me and Vanessa saw it when we were in New York for Britney's wedding. And it was, again, what I'm going to be, this is the real story. So, in New York, they do a great job of promoting because you're walking through the subways and through the trains and everything, and it's nothing but fucking billboard of, like, poster and poster and poster
show,
of every
show.
Well, we have to keep taking this one train while we were there, and every time we would go, they had the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel stuff, right? But we didn't know what that was because we were just walking by it. But we realized that somebody had drawn a dick on her face, right?
God damn it.
No, I'm going to be... This is so true. This is just the realness. But when we were walking towards that train, there was no dick on her face. And we were coming back home, there was all of a sudden a dick on her face. And so we made a comment about, damn, these people move quick. This poor girl already has a dick on her face. And we've only gone, like, been gone like an hour. And then so when we get to back to the apartment and we put on the TV, we put on fucking her Roku. The first thing that we see is the commercial for Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. And I was like, oh, my God, that's the show with the girl with the dick on her face.
Yeah.
And I was just like, we should watch that.
Yeah, sure. I felt bad for her. Might as well could watch one episode.
Straight up. That's exactly why we watched it. And then we saw the first episode and I was like, oh, my God.
So good.
This is so fucking good. And then we had the wedding and we couldn't. But we got back. And we got back, and not the first Saturday that we had nothing to do because we had made it so that first weekend back we didn't have anything to do. We didn't move from the room, and we saw the whole season.
Yeah.
Binge the whole thing. It is the best writing I've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
In a very long time for that kind of show. Because Stranger Things is
it's very different.
But for that
comedy and drama,
yes,
it is some of the best It is some of the best performances and writing I've seen in a long, long time. Like they give actors like Tony Shalhoub. I love Tony Shalhoub. He's so much fun. But they always give him like these nebbish, like awkward characters, and he plays like he's still like normally they make him play a Jewish guy, and he's still playing the father of Maisel. But he is more of like this like snub-nosed hard ass the whole time, and he just has these moments of he's a hard ass most of the time, and he has this weird tic that whenever he gets frustrated, he disappears from a room and starts playing piano
into his office,
which is so fucking weird. But he'll have these moments that when Maisel does something where he's so fucking proud of his daughter, but he's also worried, and you see the conflict on his face. That's like, oh, thank you for giving this guy a chance to like to give him some meat to work with.
I have to say, the acting is fantastic, and now Rachel is my new girl obsession.
Yeah, especially after that first episode.
Jesus, it's just so good. So if you guys haven't watched The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, which is you guys are fools for not doing that, Kenny.
Fools!
you are going to need to watch it. I want to sum it up as best as I can, and for me, it's about your stereotypical woman of the 50s, just in general. Now add that she's also Jewish and comes from a very wealthy background. No, go ahead.
Oh, you know, because I would say she's actually not the typical woman. She is definitely a proto-feminist.
Definitely. But I say it because she still does stereotypical woman stuff.
Yes.
She's fighting herself.
She is. That's a good way to look.
That's what I'm saying.
She's fighting
the stereotype because she wants to not be that.
Yeah.
But she knows that she has to keep appearances up.
Well, she knows she's good at it. That's
right.
The thing is, so she's like, oh, I can do this. But the second that she has the chance to not do it,
yeah,
fuck that.
So I want to almost imagine that she's like, she's going to be the first girl who burns her bras in the 60s. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
even if it's probably going to be accidental, knowing
right,
how the fucking
but,
script goes.
Yeah, exactly. But that's kind of what it is. So she is your stereotypical, but she's the one who's fighting the curve. Like, who's not really going to keep playing into everybody else. But, I mean, even their workout episode where they're working out how women worked out in the 50s and how it's not, like, everything about it.
Weird calisthenics.
Yeah, and like, you're going to be, like, with the single ladies in the back, and that's because they all care about how many push-ups they do and whether or not they're going to be muscular, and then she stops working out as strong. Like, it was just like really, really good, witty, and it's from the writers and the creators of the Gilmore Girls, which even if you didn't like that show, the writing was really good.
And from Roseanne,
which you can catch that comedy.
Yeah.
It is a fantastic show, and just I think it's made for anybody. But it is about this girl who was married and had the kids and all of that, even though that may not be what she wanted to do, it's what she at the time women were supposed to do, and she falls into the world of comedy. And I will leave it at that, because how she falls into it and what she does in it is something that you should just watch for the first time.
Apparently the writer based like a good chunk of this off of like Joan Rivers' life.
Makes sense. I can
tell. You can completely tell, especially a lot of the stuff in the early episodes like sound like Joan Rivers stuff. Like they're not like photocopies, but it's very much like, oh, that's definitely inspired by
her. Yeah, definitely. And I can see that. And I think that even Vanessa said the same thing.
Yeah.
That it reminded her a lot of that. And as a comedian myself, seeing the bombs of the husband.
Oh, my God.
And then seeing, for me, one of my favorite scenes is a little bit later in the montage of her growth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same joke, but with different endings and different endings and different
endings.
Her working on it and her booker that was there. And it reminded of what we do at AV,
mm-hmm.
like having to see some really shitty acts and then also seeing somebody and going, oh, my God, they're going to make it, you know. And
or you're seeing somebody who goes up on stage and you're like, that sucked, but I can see the core of it. And then they keep going back.
Yeah.
Like, there's like four or five people I can think of off the top of my head that we saw them as pups.
Grow.
We saw them grow to the point where, like, oh no, you could actually, you got a set. Like, you got something solid that you can go up there with.
So, watch it. She won a Golden Globe for Best Actress.
Thank
in a comedy
God.
Or drama.
She fucking deserves it.
She earned it 100%.
And I also believe that the best.
They won.
They won the best direction.
No,
screen.
Best comedy.
Best comedy. Good.
Best TV and comedy or drama or musical.
Completely fucking deserved.
Yeah, and that was by far great. So I definitely wanted to touch on that and get other people. It's one of the only shows that I've probably pumped out as hard as I have. I've even shared it on my Facebook. Like, you need to watch the show. I will give you my Prime account. Amazon has gone to the point of removing it off of Prime only because they won
it's
the
so
Golden
good.
Globes.
You're just like, oh shit, people need to watch this.
People need to watch it because if they come, they're gonna love it. They're gonna want a season two, and now it's only on Prime. So yep. You're gonna want to get Prime for that. So definitely check that out. If you guys have listened to our new Magicians fan, I just want to Magicians episode with Chad. I just want to say I was right about 75% of the way that first episode was gonna go. And
good call.
Wanna,
good call.
I just want to pat myself on the back. Black Mirror. Anybody? No. Caught up? Oh, you assholes.
No, I know.
Black Mirror. I already finished the second season. I got to go into the third one.
The only Black Mirror I've been looking at is my fucking Switch.
Damn it. Okay, so guys, I like Black Mirror, and I wanted to talk about an episode or two about Black Mirror, because some of that was really fucked up. But okay. I'll blog about it.
I know. Now you know how it is every time I talk about a video game where I'm screaming into the abyss.
I know. I'm so sorry. It's just that I don't have time. I'm not even going to talk about COD because it makes me sad every time I think about it. Geek news time. Stuff that has dropped. Now is the time. So I want to mention my first news, which is that the Warner Brothers go ahead. YouTube movie about Voldemort, the origins of the air, has dropped on YouTube.
Nice.
I have sadly, bad Potterhead that I am, have not had the opportunity to watch it.
Oh, okay. If you said sadly, I'm like, oh, is it bad?
No. I haven't had the opportunity to watch it.
Is it on YouTube Red or on YouTube?
No, on YouTube because they weren't allowed to make a profit from it. Warner Brothers gave them the go-ahead so long as they didn't make money.
You can use this as long as you don't make any Skrull.
Yeah.
Okay,
and so
that's fair.
Which I give it credit.
That's
that
cool,
they did that.
A lot of good reviews I heard.
I've heard great things. All my Potter groups that I'm on Facebook have been ranting and raving about it. So I'm excited for that. Another little quick Potter news that I'm going to say is the beef with Johnny Depp being in Fantastic Beasts continue. There had been this whole big uproar because of his
domestic abuse
accusations and things that happened there. To the point that people were petitioning to get him off, and J.K. Rowling came out and said that they were basically pretty much behind their decision and excited to work with Johnny Depp. Daniel Radcliffe finally came out and made a comment, and he made a very interesting comment, which was it's basically kind of messed up because it's the same team that did the Harry Potter films that's doing the Fantastic Beasts movies.
Mm-hmm.
And so he felt like really, he was like, you know, I don't want to say too much because these people helped me be who I, you know.
Yeah, they helped give me a career.
Right, but when we were shooting the Potter films, an actor who had been with us for four of the movies got kicked out because he was growing weed plants in his apartment.
Yeah.
And they kicked him out of the show. Yep. But somebody who's accused of sexual assault, it's like a go ahead.
Well, not I don't think, was it sexual?
No, domestic
okay.
abuse.
I mean, because I was just like, holy shit, that got worse.
No, you're right. No.
Still bad. It's still really fucking bad.
Still really bad. But he's like, how is it that we always weigh things so differently? And he even brought up, like, the NFL does the same thing.
Yeah.
The NFL, you can't do drugs because then you're going to be banned from, you know, weed, marijuana, where it's legal in many places. But you can hit your wife, and you can, you know, do things like that.
Throw him in an elevator.
Yeah.
Well, you're something, you're fine.
You can hit your wife. You'll be out for a year, but that's pretty much.
You go to NFL jail.
You go to
get
NFL
out.
Jail.
But you know what I mean? Like, it does.
It's fucked up.
And in all honesty, not only do I not want Johnny Depp there because of his domestic abuse issues, he's just a shitty actor for that role. And even for that aspect.
I don't see, like.
I
think we've talked about it numerous amount of times. I think
Colin Farrell would have been fucking perfect.
Just stayed as him,
But what I really wanted to do was Daniel Radcliffe finally came out and said something.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of interesting, and he still balanced
the
politics
a very,
very well.
Politically good way to put it, because it doesn't throw blame in any one direction, but it's very clear that it's like, no, you know what I mean.
This is wrong.
This.
You know, like,
this is fucked up.
This is fucked up, and this was something, you know, like, so I had to give him credit for that. So, any news from you?
Oh, man. So what Nintendo does, instead of having, like kind of splurting news out throughout the year, they just have, like, these giant gushes of information called Nintendo Directs.
Yep.
And they had one last week for January. I think it might have been Monday. I think it was last Monday. Anyway, it was within the last week. And they announced a whole bunch of shit for the first part of the year. For one, that we're getting, I don't know if you guys remember the game Dark Souls by any chance.
Yes,
of course.
Dark Souls, a very challenging, very demanding kind of experience is coming to the Switch, which is really big, because that's again, and the thing is, it's a remastered version of a game that people love. So it's another example of them, like, reaching out to people who either never played it for the first time or people who might be interested in playing that on the go.
Right.
Remember, anytime you have any of these announcements, remember, you could pick this thing up and
fucking go with it,
which makes a big deal. I played a lot of that while I was on the trip. Really,
right.
Really got a chance to try that out. There is another re-release of a game that came out on the DS called The World Ends With You. It's kind of like a weird actual action JRPG thing where, like, you're fucking around on two screens at the same time, because it was a DS.
Okay.
So I have no idea how the fuck they're going to do that. They're doing ports from the Wii U from Hyrule Warriors with all of the extra shit, all the DLC. And Donkey Kong, the platformer that they had, those are both coming to the Switch.
Mm.
Mario Tennis is getting a new one, which is no surprise, because that always sells really well. And they're releasing some free DLC for Mario Odyssey, which is a semi-multiplayer mode where if you find Luigi, like, he'll be floating around with some balloons.
Right.
And you talk to him, you can run around and hide balloons. Like, you have, like, 30 seconds to hide shit, and then somebody has to go find it.
Oh, okay.
Which, very simple, but, you know, it's something. And it's free, so, you know, at least they're still supporting the game after this. And what's so interesting here, I think, is the Dark Souls and the Wii U re-releases. Because Dark Souls is definitely reaching for a group that typically doesn't play Nintendo consoles. And
right.
The same reason why they released Skyrim, which I picked up. This is the first time I ever picked up Skyrim.
This is pretty much going to be, it's not, I don't want to say a drawing board. I think what they're going to do with Dark Souls is they're going to try to, they're going to go, it's like almost starting from the beginning.
Yeah.
While trying to introduce a well-known story. Because it's already had a couple of games already.
They've had three of them. Technically, according to the guy who created it, he's done with that idea for now. So what they're probably just doing is that they're remastering the original Dark Souls, probably Dark Souls 1 and 2, because those are only available on the older consoles now.
Mm-hmm.
But what I think is funny is Nintendo re-releasing Hyrule Warriors and Tropical Freeze, because to give you an idea of how popular the Switch is, in 1 year the Switch sold more consoles than they did the entire life of the Wii U.
That makes sense, though. Wow. That makes
and
sense.
And so there's a bunch of really fucking good games that came out on the Wii U that now they have a second chance at life.
Right.
I bought a couple of these games, but most people didn't buy this game, so now people can get a chance to play this really awesome shit.
On a better console.
And some people are complaining about it, which of course they're going to, but, you know, it doesn't really matter, because a lot of these games didn't really have good functionality for the Wii U except for playing on the tablet.
Right.
And now you can just play it with a fucking controller, so it's good to go.
Yeah. And also, didn't they just announce that there's another Zelda coming out finally?
Well, I mean, not enough coming out that they're working on it. But I mean, that's not really a major announcement because really, they're always working on something new. Like the second that they were done. Probably the second that Breath of the Wild went to gold, they were probably already starting to do very, very light.
Do you think the Zelda will ever die?
No,
or it'll be like the kind of thing like Mario? Like
no, it's always going to go on. They could do new things with it. Yeah. Like Breath of the Wild is such an amazing breath of fresh air for that series, both in like how the game is structured and the actual story, which
right.
is kind of interesting because it's a story where you lose and you have to like get. Like, it's a revenge story
right,
instead of
right.
you trying to stop something. But yeah, they'll never do that. There have been some ideas about like maybe fucking around with like switching the genders.
Okay.
Because there is a female Link that's in Hyrule Warriors.
Got it.
So who knows what they may do
over
time. That
would be interesting.
I mean, at this point, I kind of don't know where they could go after Breath of the Wild. Because Breath of the Wild kind of felt like a Hail Mary. Because it really was like, let's throw all of these ideas into this and hope it works. And it worked really, really well.
I honestly think that if Link is one of the Zelda franchise is one of those things where if you wanted to, you could literally just go back in time and start from the beginning and figure out a new way to do that,
yeah.
and people would still be on board for it.
This is what Breath of the Wild was. Breath of the Wild, if you look at the Zelda timeline, for whatever that actually means,
yeah.
this is set so far into the future of that timeline already, like thousands of years, to the point where there's almost no recognizable things from the other games. And then after that, another 100 years based off of the story of the game.
Right.
You know, this is basically almost like a soft reboot for the franchise. Like, they could just continue going from here and fuck around with it afterward. But, I mean, kind of what the fuck do you do after that? Like, if you're going to release something else on the Switch, honestly, I would just say do like a Majora's Mask and just keep the same engine.
Right.
And just do another story using that same idea.
I think Vanessa will throw the remote control at the screen.
Well, I'm not saying, okay, I just said,
not
I
saying
said
you have to do everything.
Like,
yeah.
No, I
said
know.
Like it. Like
I know, I know.
Majora's
I just
Mask.
Think, I've seen her and heard her curse that fucking thing so much that.
It would be, if they did another Majora's Mask, it would be structured way better than that was. That was an example of like kind of the hardware limitations, them being way more ambitious than the hardware could actually deliver for them.
Yeah. Sorry, I was reading only because you said something about switching genders, and I'm pretty sure that there was a panel about how to fix the sex changes in comic books.
Sex changes? Oh, you mean when the characters, when they switch
genders?
How
we just got a female Thor, we just got Miss, you know, like that. All of these characters have now really...
Yeah, it's called open your fucking mind, people.
Yeah,
that's the thing that always pisses me off. It's like, you can accept that a Titan can have Death as his girlfriend, but you can't accept that there could be a female Thor.
The fact that the hammer could actually select somebody else besides Odin's son.
A frog has lifted the fucking hammer. A weird alien horse has lifted the
fucking
hammer.
Why can't a female?
Literally.
I can't believe that.
Oh, my God. Okay, I'm so sorry. Kenny,
no,
what is
so frustrating.
What is your news?
Well, it's good because we went back to comics because this is something that's comic related.
Uh-huh.
This awesome dude by the name of Tom King, who is actually been involved with
Vision. The current Batman, yeah.
Right. He's done the current. He's doing the current Batman. He's also done Mr. Miracle. He's in talks with doing a new project that people, that's just been overheard now. And this project has to deal with superheroes dealing with PTSD.
Well, that's really interesting.
Oh,
he's actually done that in Batman. He's touched points in that.
Yeah,
but this is something where people don't know yet how big this could get or how small it is. It could be a miniseries. It could actually be a new 52 kind of event where it affects everybody. Pretty much, the idea is it's called Sanctuary, a trinity of superheroes called the Trinity,
mm-hmm.
decided that they needed to create crisis centers, and they actually call it crisis centers, which is it's a big word.
And
crisis is a big word.
Yeah, that's why when they say crisis, I get nervous. I'm like, wait a minute, what do you mean?
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Whoa.
They
what?
Call it crisis center, and pretty much all it is just having to give an outlet to superheroes so that they can deal with their physical and psychological issues. And the reason why, and Tom King goes into it a little bit more, is that he goes, because he realizes these characters of the Trinity realize two things. One, superheroes for the most part are good. And two, PTSD can really fuck up somebody.
Yeah.
And
look at the entire Hal Jordan arc as Parallax.
Yeah. So it's just one of those things where you give somebody that is that powerful, and all of a sudden they go through one of their moments. It's not good.
It's not good for anybody. Yeah, that's an interesting. I'm fascinated with that. They've touched on that with individual stories, but
with Iron Man in mm-hmm. the movies in
yes,
the MCU.
Which I also find it. I'm a minor rant here about specifically. This goes into Iron Man 3, where Iron Man 3 is a movie about post-traumatic stress, about somebody who's been involved with war, dealing with post-traumatic stress and trying to cope with it, coping with it poorly.
Yes.
And not just him being somebody who has been in war, but being somebody who has created so much war. I think that movie did a pretty good job of showing that him and him finding ways to deal with his PTSD, like at least admitting that he had a fucking problem.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, to be quite honest, just to go off a little more, I think Punisher deals with PTSD.
Oh yes,
very
perfectly.
Yeah, yeah, that is PTSD the character.
PTSD the TV show.
Yeah,
on the spectrum of how they hit PTSD as well, like not just the way that Frank Castle handles PTSD, but how other characters they have in that show. I think they did a marvelous job of showing those both who can work with it and who still live with it every day but are functional, and what it could turn people into
reasons. And that's what I think that's why I think Sanctuary is interesting, because you're going to have a spectrum of that. I mean, there's quite a few superheroes in the DC world that I can imagine are going to have.
Yeah.
That you not only that, delve into.
Some of them have walked into their houses and seen their girlfriends in fridges. So, yeah.
You know, it's like one of those things. Like, it would be interesting to see how that you would have Flash deal with something psychologically.
Both Barry and Wally. God damn it.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, one of them single-handedly created the new 52 pretty much. So it's
one of them fucked up real bad.
So it would be interesting to hear that. I mean, I think that would be a good idea. I hope it's something that deals a whole event-wide where it just goes into each different publication.
I could see that being like a good Justice League story.
Or a good miniseries. Like it's just a good quick series. Yeah. I like that.
More female stuff. I'm all about women power. The Black Widow movie had got the
go green ahead. Light.
Yeah. So I'm excited for that. I've been saying for a long time that they needed a Black Widow movie. And Scarlett Johansson's supposed to meet with them this week.
It took them long enough to do that. It basically took somebody else doing it first, which is fucking irritating.
It's not even that. I don't even think that it was just that, because they were already knowing that they were going to do Ms. Marvel.
Captain Marvel.
Knew that they were going to do Captain Marvel, so I don't think that it needed to be a tit for tat. I think what is happening now is that the female movement is so strong and fierce right now that it's going to now all of these things that are women powered are going to get the green light.
Yeah.
Because they know that the market is hot for it right now, which kind of sucks that it took that, because you're like, well, now is the time. I feel like time to bank on it.
That's really shitty.
It is super shitty. I'm happy though, because we're getting these things.
Yeah.
But you beggars can't be choosers. So I get it. We're getting it, guys. But I also realize you're banking off of the fact that all of us are like, I want a movie directed by a woman. I want, you know what I mean? Like, we want all of this stuff. And the director supposedly is going to be the same director of Wonder Woman.
Whoa,
which
what?
She's really
that's
good.
What I
no
have.
No fucking
that's
way.
Really good.
Oh, I
like that.
The thing is, I don't know if that'll happen, because I got to imagine that DC will be like, here's a ton of fucking money. Do not do this, please.
Well, you think so?
Well, here's the thing. Marvel's infamous for those contracts.
Yeah.
I don't think DC is. So DC better be on the ball with something like that. You don't want to lose her to Marvel, because
they lost Joss Whedon.
Yeah, exactly. Because then Disney sinks its claws and goes, "You're mine.
You
now.
Will never go. Come back now. Down."
I believe that was the rumor was that
it was gonna. Oh my God, what's her name? Why is her name? Her name's escaping me now.
Patty Jenkins.
Thank you.
Oh,
good call.
Boom!
Got that brain, girl. Got that memory.
Boom. I hope it's her. That would be awesome.
No, I think it is Patty Jenkins. That's
No. That's not. I know that's her name. I'm talking about like who that they're going to get her to direct it. Like, I really hope that that's.
I mean, if not, I would love for them to give, because there are a couple. I mean, I'm trying to think right now, giving anybody a chance to push something out like this. Like, I would even. Man, I'm trying to think.
Well, as long as it's female screenwriter, please. Please,
yes.
Please.
Female screenwriter.
I'll take a female. I mean, if you have to, and we don't have to be limited to this, but if you have to choose between a female screenwriter and a female director, I think I would choose the female screenwriter over the female director.
Guardians of the Galaxy. Guardians of the Galaxy had a female screenwriter in there. Volume 1 and 2.
Oh,
so I would imagine.
James Gunn, James Gunn
was a director, but he wasn't.
He also wrote it.
But they had a co-writer.
He had a co-writer?
Okay. Yeah.
I didn't know that, so. Wow, that's interesting.
I was trying to see if I can find online who was rumored to be the screenwriter.
While you're rumored, do you want me to go and speak about some more news?
Yes, please do.
Some more news?
Yeah.
Well, I had to scramble for this one, but this is actually kind of close to my heart. So there's a gaming marathon that goes on twice a year called Games Done Quick.
On Twitch?
On Twitch. It's live for a week, 24 hours, 7 days. They stream speedruns of games, which is everything from finding every single little thing in a game to beating it as fast as possible to having, like, very specific categories.
Right.
Famously, they didn't have it this time around, but Super Metroid has, like, a ton of different categories, like 100%, beating it with only one specific weapon, beating it as fast as possible, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So they actually broke their record that they set last year and raised $2.2 million in a week.
Nice.
Which is pretty awesome when you consider that it's like these are people playing games, and you know it has such a strong community that have people, like, according to the story here from Polygon, says that more than 32,000 people donated over the course of a week to push it to 2.2 million. Some of the things that they'll do to bump that number up is they'll have like challenge goals that you reach. So say if you reach $10,000, we will add this game on. Like, they'll have spots where it's okay. So one
campaign
of the
milestones.
So probably the most impressive one this time around is I know Kenny has. Have you ever heard of a game called Punch Out?
Yeah.
Okay. So this guy played the original Punch Out and Super Punch Out at the same time with the same controller.
What?
How yes.
the fuck did he do that?
So the way that he did it was so it's a specially wired controller to play both at the same time. So the trick is, in the original Punch-Out, you use the start button to use the power punch, because
right.
he gains the stars.
Right.
Super Punch-Out, that pauses the game.
Right.
So what he does is that he times punching in Super Punch-Out to or punch in Punch-Out to pause Super Punch-Out, so while the person is down in Punch-Out, he unpauses and fights at Super Punch-Out. So he's literally juggling the two of them. At
Holy
the same
shit.
Time. He does
and
this,
also using load screens and stuff.
He does it in, I think, like 20 minutes.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah, the guy, and I've seen this one specific guy do this before. Another year was, there's a famous, probably the best Castlevania game, Symphony of the Night. Guy does it blindfolded.
Wow.
He beat the entire game blindfolded. Now, granted, if you wanted to speed run that game,
yeah.
it's not hard. It's pretty fast, actually. The game is really buggy. But to do it
blindfolded,
and the way that he does it is that, one, sound cues. But two, you could also measure the distance that you move in a room, because his backdash, Alucard's backdash, moves a set distance. And he lands, he makes a sound. So he literally can backdash, 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 fall down, backdash, backdash, jump, backdash, backdash, I'm out of the room.
Got it.
And he memorized when he would have to go into a menu and move shit around. So you see, like,
yeah.
really crazy
That's
fucked
awesome.
Up shit like
That's
that.
That's crazy.
And you know, it's a lot of fun. It's gotten, obviously, 2.2 million over a year. A lot of people complain about it now, because everybody has a goddamn fucking opinion. And,
right. The internet is taking over.
Probably the biggest controversy this year is that for you to participate in the chat on Twitch, you either had to be a Twitch member or you had to pay $5 to, like, subscribe to the chat. And people blew the fuck up and were mad, like, oh, no, all the plebes that can't fucking pay, which is, of course, one, super fucking over-exaggerated. When you think about, like, you have to pay somebody to moderate a chat for a week, no, $5 is not that much to ask to be able to do that.
Right.
No.
To give you an idea of how many messages.
Especially since it's a charity.
For how many messages this had. The one last year had 2.4 million messages over
Holy
the course of a
shit.
Week. This one had 700,000.
Wow.
So for one, you definitely reduce the amount that you have to moderate. Two, if somebody's going to fucking go in a chat and troll, because I fucking hate that shit, now you got to fucking pay the money. And most people are not willing to pay money to fucking troll.
And
right.
even
Some
if you
people are,
are. And even if you are, it still gives you a good chance of taking them out.
Well, the
yeah.
only problem now is that you get a Twitch account when you have Amazon Prime.
And that's what and that was also the great thing, the amusing thing of so many of these dumbasses didn't fucking realize. I'm like, bitch, you have fucking Amazon. You know that you fucking can go into
yeah, like,
this.
Shut the fuck up.
But, yeah, no, so it was impressive that these guys managed to beat their own record. $2.2 million is pretty fucking impressive.
That's fucking great. Any more news from you, Kenny?
Well, I have noticed that I like, even though I have Space Bear next to me, I usually
the
am the
spies.
One. I usually have, I'm usually the one with the spy. News.
Because I like it when somebody else says it. Because I can sit here happily looking up into the sky like, yeah.
Well, it finally happened. It took them forever and a day, but Neil deGrasse Tyson has confirmed that there will be a season 2 of
Woo!
The Cosmos.
Yeah!
Yeah, I'm
which I am
that.
Super
yes!
excited until I realized it's not coming out till 2019.
Doesn't matter. It's happening. It's happening. It's happening.
I know, but he fucked up. He fucked up. And his Instagram report coming this spring. And I was like, you lie because the image
you
says.
You mean coming next spring,
motherfucker. Yeah, next spring. Yeah, goddamn.
So
damn,
in other words,
it,
but
God
here's the thing,
it.
Though. It 2019 holds a special place in my heart because there's going to be a lot of things coming out in 2019. 2019
is going to be real fucking busy.
2019 is going to be really busy. You got the last season. The season. The
series finale.
The series finale of freaking Game of Thrones. You have now another Marvel movie coming out next year.
Captain Marvel, 2019. Marvel.
You also, not only that, you have fucking Cosmos coming out. Oh my
so
God.
So much spice.
Granted, there's
so
a lot of
spice.
Shit coming out in this year.
No, this year is busy too.
Guys, Infinity War, Han Solo movie, Black Panther, Deadpool 2, Ant-Man and the Wasp, in The Incredibles 2.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Ready Player One.
Mm-hmm.
Aquaman.
Mm. Oh, by the way, Deadpool, they realize, they go, oh no, we're coming out in May, during the Avengers. No.
Well,
no,
I mean,
we're pushing ourselves forward.
Well, remember,
we're coming out in April.
They're all in the same house now, so like Disney is not going to cockblock itself.
Nah, Deadpool's
no,
like
definitely.
Fuck you. In fact, Ryan Reynolds went so far as to say how much he hates.
No.
He said he's done it before when they made the deal. He downplayed it so much on how much he doesn't like Marvel.
He's just like choo choo, getting the fuck out of the way.
By the way. Wreck-It Ralph 2.
Wreck-It Ralph
2019?
2018.
Holy shit. Wow, they're knocking two
again,
real big ones out.
Fantastic Beasts, the second one comes out. X-Men, mm-hmm. Dark Phoenix. There's a lot of movies.
It's a lot
I
of
saw
movies.
The pictures of Sansa as
Sophia,
Dark Phoenix.
Yeah.
Sophia Turner, right?
Yeah.
Yep. I follow her, too.
Well, no surprise.
I follow so many celebrities now. But my fate is straight up Chloe Bennett, Stella Maeve, Rachel, because Emma Stone doesn't have any social media.
Really? She doesn't have any social media?
No, she probably,
she
if she did,
like,
it would blow
she
up.
She is the smartest person out of all
you,
of them.
When you didn't see what she used to do, when she would go out on dates with, when she was dating Andrew Garfield,
uh-huh.
and they were in the process of filming Spider-Man and all that, they would write their political views or campaigns that they were doing, and they would cover their faces and walk into and out of the restaurant that way. So you can, if you were to get pictures of them, you were going to get it without all that information on it. And then so she has no Instagram. All her fans have Instagrams.
Oh, well, yeah, of course.
But
oh, yeah.
I want to follow, like, the people, because then I get to see Instagram live videos, and then I feel
you
like,
you see
know,
them like, I'm so close to you live.
Yeah, I feel like we're friends. You know what I mean? Like, I know your
I
dog's
can reach
names.
Out. I can reach out and touch the glass. And
yeah.
I have
almost
so
like,
many stones with your name on them.
You know, one of these days you're going to like my picture, you know, and then I'm going to be like, fuck yeah.
And then that's it. Then you're done. You
yeah,
can just sit,
I'm done.
And
I'm
sit
done.
On the couch.
Just
go to sleep.
But Neil deGrasse Tyson can do no wrong in my eyes.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited for
that. The fact that Cosmos Season 2 is coming out is spectacular.
Could you just imagine my face the entire time as I'm watching that? I'm just like,
it's gonna be great.
It's just like Beavis looking at fire.
To be quite honest, if I ever hear, because he'll never, I know Bill Nye will always. Bill Nye goes to cons, especially here in Florida. He enjoys coming here, but the moment I hear any inkling that Neil deGrasse Tyson is in the Florida area,
ooh man.
Yeah, I'm going
to
go.
Let me tell you, when I was walking around New York, I'm like, I could go to the planetarium. I could maybe run into this man.
Oh, man. So last little bit that I wanted to just show was because Disney dropped a commercial, and it kind of showcases what we have to look at when it comes to the Iron Man suit that will be in Infinity War.
Oh.
Yeah, for those of you who.
How shiny is
it? It's very shiny, very pretty. It's cool. His prime armor. from the comic books.
His prime armor, so he has Optimus Prime has helped him out.
Yeah, just a little bit. It's
Iron Man, transform and roll out.
I guess so, because it turns into whatever suit he needs it to turn into.
Oh, that's fucking cool.
That's great.
Me gusta.
Very similar to my favorite suit, which is from Superior Iron Man.
That is the best suit.
That, for me, is the best
suit. The Jesus suit.
The Jesus suit is fucking amazing. That's my favorite suit, but... this is actually very similar to the suit that he ends up having, if I'm not mistaken, in the last run of Infamous Iron Man. No, I have it. I read it.
You got it somewhere.
I got it somewhere. It was canceled before Secret Wars.
Of course it was.
of course.
Maybe you should yell at the Marvel panel.
If there would have been Iron Man writers there, I would have. I would have been like, what the flying fuck?
Well, it's not
there.
Remember, it is not. That would not be the Iron Man writers. That would be...
Marvel.
I don't even know who runs Marvel anymore.
Me neither. But I know it's...
Fuck that guy or girl.
That's whose fault it is.
That person.
That person.
But we got to see a bit of it, and it's really nice and sleek and super pretty, and it's in a Disney commercial. Obviously, we're going to get it a lot better with better graphics when it comes to Infinity War, but at least it was there. So I was excited for that. And that was really it for geek news. I was excited to Black Widow. Anything that dropped this week was pretty much...
Yeah.
I got to see the Voldemort movie. And when I watch the Voldemort movie, I might do my own little quick review.
Ooh.
On what I thought about
it.
I'll be nice. And that's it. That's it for this episode, guys.
Oh, man. We finished strong. Wow.
Yeah.
I really like it.
Yeah.
We're not doing this.
No, we're not. We're not wrong. That's a wrong podcast. Wrong segment.
Wrong guys. Hold on, though, because you guys will have one of those coming
soon. Recording that.
Right after this.
Yeah, we're getting a little excited.
As always, guys, you can follow me, actually, on Instagram. I've changed my Instagram to fit my geek self a little bit more. And it is Kufindor.
Kufindor!
Kufindor! So you can follow all my geeky awesomeness there. And on Twitter, I'm still Cue the Mic. I'm in transition for that. And Bear, where can they follow you?
You can find me on Instagram at Gurren Lagann, like the robot anime. I've been posting a lot of music lately.
Yeah, I
got a bunch of vinyls. I've been playing them.
A lot of vinyl turning.
Yeah, it makes me happy. It makes me happy to point a phone at that and just listen. And you can find me on Twitter at Pedro Cortez Get, and that's Cortez with an S. I finished my other podcast. I don't know if I mentioned that. We recorded our last episode. Yeah, a little sad, but like you know, we ended strong. We ended on our own terms, so you know. The work that Chris and I did over the years, like I'm proud of what we did, and I think our quality remained solid. The funny thing was that like he went back and listened to old episodes, and he's like, our content has always been like you've improved how it sounded, but like the way that we've spoken and the way that how we've analyzed things has remained constant throughout 7 years. Like
that's fantastic.
You know,
which is great.
Which is which like that made me feel good. Like okay, no, we've actually held our standards for that long.
And which the name of that podcast is Chaos Theater.
You can find Chaos Theater. You know what? I'm so close to 100,000 downloads for that whole show.
Go do it.
Just go download that. See if you can push me over 100,000.
That'll
be awesome.
Support that podcast. Kenny, where can they follow you?
Follow me on Instagram at Cuban Polar Bear with the underscores in between. I'm considering changing it to Mr. Underscore.
Mr. Underscore is fucking great. That's a great fucking name.
I'm considering that.
It is a great fucking name.
It's a hard push. And you can also find me as K Skeets on Twitter. I might also change that to Mr. Underscore.
My whole life just turned to Mr. Underscore.
Who knows, guys? It might happen.
And as always, you can follow The Talking Geek at Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, The Talking Geek. We post all the kinds of stuff. You can also check out our website. We actually have merch for sale.
Woo!
If you want to support our podcast and either you are not a Patreon, but you want to be a supporter anyways, buy a shirt. We have snapbacks with our logo on it and also with the Brunches and Dragons logo on it.
Ooh.
And we also have shirts in all kinds of colors with both those logos on it as well. So you can do that. Or you can support for as little as $1 a month on our Patreon. And we're actually going to be recording a special episode tonight that'll be on Patreon only. So that's the kind of shit you get over there, along with some other perks. So you can check that out by www.patreon.com/thetalkinggeek. And as always, until next time, everybody, stay geeky.